You've already seen portions of today's reading already. It's found in Isaiah chapter 9, starting at verse 2. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has a light shone. You have multiplied the nations, you have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with a joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoils. For the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder and the rod of his oppressors you have broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the tramping warrior in battle tumult and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and to uphold it with justice, with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Well, welcome, and once again we thank you for coming and joining us for our Christmas Eve service. My name is Eric Matty. I serve as one of the elders here. And I realized that for myself, that this is my 30th Christmas as a born-again, Christ-enlightened, Spirit-filled lover of Jesus. And, you know, I have a confession to make that throughout those years of studying and reflecting and reading about the arrival of Christ, even at times like tonight, preaching about the arrival of Christ, I have to confess that there are times where it was just a rote acknowledgement of just facts. Not quite the affectionate worship of Jesus like some other years. You know, those other years in which you're acutely aware of how grand and merciful the plan of salvation is, how Christ's coming and the full reason of his arrival is so burning in your heart. You're humbled to see your need to be saved. You're filled with a longing to rightly be loved. And you're truly satisfied to see God actually be given the spotlight, not only on December 25th, but every day of the year. And now, in my midlife, as I continue to want to love Jesus better than I did when I was younger, I desire to find Jesus bigger. That's right, I use the word bigger. You say, why would I use the word bigger? Well, if you are familiar with the Chronicles of Narnia, you remember that there is a scene in which Aslan the lion, who is the Christ symbol in that book, is speaking to Lucy. And as Lucy gazes into his large, wise face, he says, "Welcome, child." And she says, "Aslan, you're bigger." "That's because you're older, little one," he said. "Not because you are?" "I am not. But every year you grow, you will find me bigger." That's how I desire to see God bigger in my life. I hope that in some very small way, God will take even this message and even this service today, that he will bring his presence as we worship him as a family of God today, and that we would all begin to see Jesus just a little bit bigger tonight. So looking at this passage in Isaiah, it's a very familiar prophecy. You hear it almost every year, don't you? You can almost quote it without knowing it. Let me give you the 10-second historical context of it. You see, this passage is a prophecy of what was going to happen after the Assyrian invasion of Israel and Judah. God's people are told they will not suffer under judgment forever, but rather that God will send a deliverer, a son of David, who is beyond compare. So there it is. But then found in the middle of this prophecy is a hope-filled arrival of the suffering servant, who will be their deliverer for this exile and for the judgment. You see, they have hope beyond compare. Verses 2 and 3, they said, those who were once filled with gloom, with darkness, maybe they felt like outcasts. Maybe they had been forgotten. Maybe they have no family and they feel like they have been orphaned. But it says here in verse 3, as a result of this arrival, their joy is increased. And that joy is expressed here in the word as pictures of a full harvest, a fullness of a harvest time in which there is plenty to celebrate. And even the other word picture here is the victory and the dividing of the spoils, the dividing of a victorious spoil in rejoicing. Now, this hope is not limited to the nation of Israel. In fact, we know that later on in Matthew, when Matthew was quoting Isaiah 42, he says this, he says, "Behold my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved with whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he will proclaim the justice to the Gentiles. He will not quarrel or cry aloud, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not quench until he brings justice to victory. And in his name, the Gentiles will hope." Hear that last part. In his name, the Gentiles will hope. The better word there actually is nations. In his name, the nations will hope. That is everyone else that are not Jews. Okay, that's you and me for the most part in this room, unless you have some kind of Jewish descent. We have the hope that his justice and his law will be established. And we, as believers who today we look at the rest of this book and we understand the story here. We understand that Jesus is the Messiah and that he has defeated and accomplished many great things. And one of them is he's defeated the great enemy. And it was a defeat that was accomplished by God's power alone, much like Gideon defeated the Midianites, as it says here in verse 4. We have the hope within the future kingdom as well, that we'll be run by the same grace and justice by which we are saved. But tonight, as we gaze at the surrounding of the Advent, in light of this prophecy, we not only have a hope that is beyond compare, but we have a hope that is beyond comprehension. Verse 6 of Isaiah. "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given." The verb born there is consistent with Jesus' humanity. The verb given here is consistent with Jesus' divinity. This hope-filled arrival is not just any chosen human being who God says, "You're the one." We know that he chose David. We know that he chose Abraham. We know that he chose Isaiah. But there was something different about the suffering servant as mentioned in this prophecy. And that is that he is God himself. J.I. Packer says it the best. "The Christmas message rests on the staggering fact that the child in the manger was God. Jesus was fully God, fully man. Jesus is God in the flesh." In fact, the word incarnation means the taking of the flesh. This is a miraculous addition to the eternal Son of God, the second person of the triune Godhead. Now, the incarnation, what Jesus was remained, and what he was not, he became. That's the old way of saying it. That at the incarnation, the eternal Son, who was always possessed the divine natural attributes of his divinity, he did not change, he did not set it aside, but rather he added to himself a second nature, namely a human nature consisting of a human body and soul. And as a result, the individual Jesus is one person, the Son, who now subsists in two natures. Thus, he is fully God and he is fully man. So this, in many senses, is beyond our comprehension. This is hard to understand at times because he is more than just a shadow of a Superman. He is more than a shadow of a Batman. If you think Jesus is like either one of these, you're walking into heresy. We will never fully comprehend the how of the incarnation and the two natures in one person that are without mixture, without confusion, without separation, and without division. But realize that in accepting this truth, we have hope. Not a hope found in life hacks and the tenets of theology. Not a hope found in our own strength and positive believing. Not a hope found in something that we can comprehend, put in a box, and set on the shelf here and know we understand it. But rather, it's a hope found in his name. More precisely, it's found in a person. We not only have a hope beyond compare and a hope beyond comprehension, but we have a hope that we are beyond confident in. Reflecting on the names here in Isaiah, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. These are not names of wishful thinking titles that hopefully he would fulfill. These are four royal names expressing both divine and human qualities. They give us assurance that the suffering servant is indeed Emmanuel, God with us. Consider these four things. First of all, the Lord is a counselor. And that corresponds to our need for wisdom and guidance. The Lord is mighty. He corresponds to our need for strength and power to live the Christian life. The Lord is a father. That corresponds to my need for firm and gentle care and provision, especially if I've never known it to be here. The Lord is peaceful. And that corresponds to my need for quietness and rest and freedom from trouble and agitation. However, that is not the hope that we have. What makes this hope-filled is this, that his counsel is actually wonderful. It is miraculous. The Lord has better advice for your life than anyone. It is amazingly and wonderfully different from the advice of the world. And that gives hope for us in this room who are simple and need guidance. That gives us hope for us in this room who feel lost and they need advice. That gives us hope for those who are unsure and you're looking for help. It's found in Jesus, and he is the most trusted advisor that you could listen to. Secondly, his might is divine might. If God is for us, then who can be against us? No greater power in the universe than his. It will prevail over all of his enemies. It is full of hope as we realize that God, as a warrior, protects and moves and works on behalf of his children. Speaking of children, his fatherhood is everlasting. You will never attend this father's funeral. He will never get old and senile and leave you like an orphan on your own. This is good news for those of you who this season who might be struggling with your family because you feel like one of the outcasts. God says that your real family is the family of God and your true father is your heavenly father and he will not leave you as an orphan. An eternal father, as eternal father, he validates your worth through his love and acceptance of you through Christ. As eternal father, he relieves the fears of rejection and even the fears of outcomes. What happens if I do this? What happens if I go this way? What if I fail? He says, cast it to me. Don't walk in fear. Trust me for the outcome. You are now his child, and you are not condemned any longer. And then number four, his peace. His peace is maintained by a princely authority. The government shall be upon his shoulders, as a great prince, and his kingdom will be everlasting peace. Jesus is the leader of peace and offers it to the world, but only the sons of peace receive it. How do you know if you're a son of peace? How do you know if you're part of the angel's promise that peace among those with whom he is pleased? The answer is this. You welcome the peacemaker. You receive Jesus. Continually cultivate a sense of hope-filled amazement that in spite of your sins, you have peace with God. It is one way to see Christ as bigger. Be amazed that you have peace with God. It is this sense of amazement that I, even as a sinner, can see and sense and makes my heart tender and kind and forgiving and even more worshipful than before. And by peace, I mean not just the absence of conflict and animosity, but rather the presence of joyful tranquility. May that be the very thing that we have the confidence in. That we have the confidence that he is these things. He is not just possessing these things, that Jesus is these things. And we can have that confidence as we trust our life to him. Merry Christmas. Let's pray together. Jesus, your very name is the hope of all nations. It is the hope of all your people that today we don't find our saving grace and living hope in our names or in our reputation or in what we do, but exclusively we find it in you alone. And tonight we're reminded that in this final set of worship that you offer hope to the ordinary people. We need the hope found in you. Most importantly, Lord, we just need you. Would you draw near now and seal your message in our hearts? And as a result, would we have tears of joy and voices of laughter that fill our hearts with worship greater than any gift that we could receive tonight or tomorrow under the Christmas trees? We ask this in Jesus' name, and all of God's children said,